Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world-building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's game is all about sport.
Sports is an interesting topic because it's not usually used in spec fic, and I think Quidditch changed everything where it became like we should all consider because that's such an iconic piece of world-building. And it is another spec fic, but that's the one that really, I think, changed the game.
For fantasy, yes.
Yes.
Sci-fi has been dealing with sports for much longer than fantasy has.
Yeah,
you've got Tron, all the video games. I mean, granted, you're locked in a video game. You also have Ender's Game, where the battle school is filled with game, and the whole thing is treated like a game.
So, yeah, like war gaming is
a huge part. That's all an extension, but in fantasy, yes, Quidditch changed. I'll give you that. Quidditch changed everything.
Pod racing in Star Wars, you have the Tron. You've got you.
My favorite is random. But in The Fifth Element, Chris Tucker is walking around. He's showing Bruce Willis to a seat in the big opera house. And he meets this big buff dude. And he goes, and here's Vic something, king of laserball. And I was like, laserball? The fuck is laserball?
Yeah.
Let's find out laserball. I want to see more about laser. I don't even like sports in real life that much. I enjoy them. But I don't have a team that I root for or anything.
Yeah.
I just want to know.
You wear
more
a Red Sox hat like all the time.
That's a whole long thing.
Yeah,
but it's a family thing. I like them, but it's not like I fought like the degree of sports obsession, which is to say what most people feel about sports is the way that we feel about fantasy.
Interesting.
I don't have that. Like, yeah. I don't have a team. I don't track stats. I don't do this. I do know directors and authors and
yeah. All yeah, that fair shit. Enough. Yeah. You only have so much brain space. Yeah.
But you like tennis.
I do. I love tennis.
Yeah.
But I like most sports. I just don't pay attention in the way that I did when I was like in high school, where I actually did know stats and I watched ESPN every day and whatever. But I think sports, the older I get, the more I'm like, yeah, sports is a great way to tell stories.
Yeah.
There's a compelling amount of story in any type of sport because they are human endeavors. They're human stories and they're usually fun and lighthearted and they have triumph and failure, and you get to root against, you know, the bad guys, quote unquote, because they're just like the team you dislike for whatever reason. So they're good fodder to be putting
it's
into.
It's interesting. There are some parallels to the hero's journey you just mentioned there. That's surprising.
Yeah, I mean, you could literally have a talented, like, young farming kid plucked out of obscurity because he's got talent at a sport and have them go on a hero's journey just through the lens of sport.
Absolutely.
In a fantasy world or in a real, like, and this
they do that a lot with teams. Like, you could the Mighty Ducks, the 90s hockey, like, that is a hero's journey.
Yeah, I mean,
it's with the team instead of an individual. Rudy, fuck yeah.
I mean, and Rudy's a real story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So exactly. Same point.
In spec fic, it's usually going to be a background thing. Like you said, with the laser ball thing, Gears of War has like one of the characters is a professional thrash ball player, I think.
Final Fantasy X has Blitzball.
And they're just like, well, this exists in the background. We'll never show it. We'll never explain it, but we'll just let you know it's a big deal. And these people are celebrities and they're successful at a sport. You know, that's, you know, it's like Australian rules football. No one really knows, but it's there.
Yeah. And you respect people that care.
Yeah. Shout out to our Australian listeners. I don't understand your sport. Some people do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got really into rugby when I lived in South Africa. It was really fun to watch. Rugby
is cool.
Spectacular.
I think any sport that's actually popular anywhere is fun.
There's
if
something
you get
to,
into it.
And all you need to know, there is a minimum threshold that you need to know to be able to understand. But even I watch enough cricket, I'm like, okay, now I can sort of see what's going on.
Yeah, and now I can
can get into it a little bit.
Yeah. There's a reason people like things.
Totally, totally.
All right, well, then let's get into our teases for our sports that we're going to pitch today. What's your sport?
I can go the distance.
Oh.
I can pave my way. We are going to get sued.
Well, probably not, because that wasn't on key.
Oh.
They won't recognize
it. Wow, fuck yourself.
mine is oddball.
Okay. I can go the distance. Sports are cool because you can really just throw a sci-fi or a fantasy word together with a sporting word and have it work.
Yes.
Like,
you did this via text to me.
I know.
Listen.
Psychic football. What did I say?
Psychic decathlon.
Psychic decathlon. I said storm surfing.
Like fireball?
No. Oh, dodge fireball.
Dodge fireball. Fireball is from Friends.
Yeah, it is from Friends. Dodge fireball would be fun. But I was scrolling around, like, looking for a movie to watch, and Avatar, the James Cameron Avatar, popped up. And I remembered they had all those cool, like flying dragon creature things that they bonded with. Yes. Right. And so that's what kicked off this inspiration. Then I started thinking, you know, what would be really cool? We have triathlons, you know, where you have to swim, what is it, like a mile and then run a lot. I don't know much about triathlons, but you got to swim, you got to run, and you got to bike.
Yes.
And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if you had a triathlon, but instead of you doing it, you are trading between creatures that you've had to tame and train. But it is still a triathlon. So the first one you start off with, you have to, you've got like this mountainous peak and you've got to ride a scaly desert lizard up the sheer face of a cliff. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you got to get on, you get to the top of the thing and then you got to get on your flying dragonfly. Yeah. You know, or dragon type creature, and then fly that, navigate through some narrow woods. And then the last one is you've got a, you get into the water and you've got a, like a big fish or a sea snake or something like that, that you have trained that you have to then get through a, you know, wade down through a river or swim underwater with or something like that. So it is a triathlon, but instead of you doing it, you have tamed and trained all of these creatures. Yeah. And you've also got like an earth, air, water, earth, sky, land, water type thing.
So you're a jockey for each of these.
You're a jockey for each of these. Yeah. I don't care what the creatures are much. If you want like...
That depends on the world.
Yeah. If you want the mountain thing to be a big ass mountain goat, do it. Oryx are great. They can fucking stand like vertical on vertical sheer. Like they're crazy.
The idea in itself doesn't really need any notes. So here's a couple alts.
Yeah.
That you could do it in a sci-fi world where mm-hmm. it's, you have to mechanically build like three different types of vehicles or something.
Sure.
And so it's like, oh, you have to build a, you know, a spacesuit. You have to build a bike, a motorcycle, like a Tron thing. And you have to build
submarine.
And you have to build multiple devices. And it's a mechanic based like robot wars, you know, it's like
pod racing.
It's for mechanics, like Formula One. Half of it becomes the cars, and half of it becomes the driver.
Yeah,
you know, where it's some of that. I think you could play with it in that context. I think so. You could do where you aren't a jockey. It's your training and their like your animals or your beasts' ability to do this without you. You could even do it that way as well, where it's like...
Oh, sort of like the dog show.
Yes.
Where it's like, you're there, but it's...
Yes.
The dog is doing the thing.
Yes. That was a part of what I was thinking.
And yeah, that's cool.
Also, based on the dog show, you could do it where it's not three, it's like 10, and they're all like in a dog show-like arena, mm-hmm. where it's, you know, you have to train them to do multiple things. It's a dog show, it's like, yeah, you have the one dog doing the course or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what if it is... You have 10 creatures all doing the thing that they're naturally capable of doing, of like fly over here. Like, have you seen like those, like that drone racing is a sport now, or people like,
God help us.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's been a thing for a while where you have to pilot a drone like through an arena or something where they have all these little checkpoints and things they have to go through. They all have GoPros on them.
Yeah.
That kind of thing within like a space within an arena or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. But I think your version's probably the best and the most spectacle based. Sure. But those are just some alts for it.
Another alt that occurred to me while you were talking, you could, so in D&D, wizards or anything with a familiar, you can occupy and see through your familiar's eyes.
So you like pilot them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you're sitting stationary, yeah. but you have to warg into three different or multiple different creatures and prove your mastery of living in their bodies enough to do that. Or you could also do it as a shapeshifter, where like you have to prove your mastery of being a wolf, being a fish, being a bird. Because that's part of the test to prove that you're ready to become an archdruid or something, that you can be part of these creatures like that. That's less a sport and more
it becomes like a trial. Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Quick question, because now it's driving me crazy, is where did the word warg become popularized?
Game of Thrones.
Is that Game of Thrones? Okay, that's what I thought. obviously. And I was like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah, no, it's Game of Thrones.
It's whenever, like,
the white eyes, yeah, and he gets into the bird.
Into the three-eyed raven thing.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, it started with one of the wildlings. It doesn't matter. The lore is not important. But yes, came from Game of Thrones.
The lore is always important. This is a world-building podcast, motherfucker.
About that specific line, Kyle.
Anyway, as far as it, because part of a sport needs to be spectator-based.
Yeah.
So then the spectator, so like these courses, like, I think that's why I was trying to be like, okay, what if we make it smaller so that it's easier to have spectators there? Mm-hmm. If it's, say, you know, a full, like, take off, you know, a couple miles this way or whatever, having spectators might be hard. And then you could kind of get into some fun, like, how do people follow this? And what if you have, like, airships?
Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers. On today's episode, we're discussing cameras.
Well, no, I was going to say, like, airships where people are like, sit there in the stands,
yeah,
like on an airship, and they follow the course. So they are there. And then you create more spectacle and more of an atmosphere.
Sure.
This is for the elite. They book tickets on these airships, and they sit in bleachers, and then they just kind of go along with the track.
Which would be interesting because typically floor seats, or the closer you are to the action, is the better seat.
Yeah.
But in this case, no, you would want to be up high so you can see everything.
You can see what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting flip.
Yeah. Because, like, think about, like, chariot races in Rome or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, the Circus Maximus was what, you know, like the largest building in Roman history, where it's like, yeah, because it's really hard to create a space to do a race in any sort of situation. Like, the biggest stadium I think in the world is, it might be in Pyongyang, but otherwise it's the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, because it's a huge track where people just go around in a circle. And don't get me started on how boring racing is to me, but I, you know, people love Formula One now.
They love it.
Formula One is probably cooler, but like,
Formula One is very cool. I have thoughts on Formula One, all coming from the fact that I saw a video once where it was a Formula One racer going up against, I forget who it was, but it was a tight end, a big name tight end in football, doing a reflex test.
Uh-huh.
And the Formula One racers' reflexes were so much faster.
Yeah, because they have to.
Which makes sense when you stop and think, like, oh yeah, they're traveling 400 miles a fucking hour.
Yeah.
But you just don't think about it, right?
I think about it.
Well, good for you.
Anyway, I don't know if there's much more on this.
No, there isn't. But I was thinking a lot about, like, the Avatar dragons. I was thinking about that that lizard thing that Obi-Wan rides in Revenge of the Sith.
That's a cool mount.
Yeah, right?
That was a really cool mount that was underutilized.
Really loved that thing. It had the great, like, whoop, whoop noise. Like, it was,
yeah,
it was awesome. But I was thinking that's sort of the vibe I was going for with, and I like the earth, air, the sky, earth, ocean thing, you know, where it's a sport of, oh, we're celebrating our planet, you know.
Yeah.
Not sure why climate would be on my mind these days. Kyle, tell me about Oddball.
Oddball is not an original idea for me. It is an idea that I want to make work, and I want to expound upon it. Mm. This is a Halo game mode.
Okay.
As you know, I used to play competitive Halo. I'm a huge fan of the game, and Oddball is a...
can be a Halo.
No. But Halo. So there's a multiplayer mode called Oddball where there's a skull that your team wants to hold on to. And as long as you're holding the skull,
it's a skull.
And if you're holding on to the skull, the ball, then you, like, it counts up the seconds that you're holding it. It's the time in which, and you win by having held the ball for like 200 seconds or something.
Sure.
But so then while you're holding it, you are unable to do much because, you know, in this game, it's, you have guns and you don't have your gun out, so you can't shoot, but you can't hit people in melee with the Oddball, but people just shoot you from further. So basically you have a man down advantage or disadvantage.
Okay.
And you want to, like, turtle up in defense or do whatever you're going to do to hold on to
turtle
the ball.
Up is a fucking fantastic phrase, by the way.
Yes. It's a good phrase.
I've never heard it before.
Really?
No, never.
Oh yeah. Anyway, never. Well, but so you want to hold on to it for as many seconds as you can to get score. And I think it's a really cool idea, and it's really fun in Halo. It works, especially if people are trying to get the ball, and there's a lot of strategies around it. Like, you know, if you're like near the edge of the map and you're about to die, you throw the ball off the map so that it respawns in the middle of the map, and then everyone kind of has to find it again rather than the other team being right next to it. So there's lots of strategies around it.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I wanted to say, okay, well, how about we take that and make it work in any context. This doesn't have to be fantasy. It doesn't have to be. This could just be also like modern, like urban fantasy, because it's literally hold on to something and have it count. But so then I was like, okay, how do we make it more fantastical? And like, you know, when you have the oddball, you move slower, slightly slower. So, okay. So what if, you know, you have to pick up this ball? What if it is a skull? What if it's a very heavy skull? So you have to, like, it slows you down, or maybe it has like a gravitational field around it so that you actively are under more gravity, something like that. And then it can, you know, it magically is able to count how many seconds that you have been doing it.
Nice.
Or something to that effect. You know, you put everybody, and you could do this over a large space, but like take a Colosseum. You know, I'm using that as my framework because I think it works well as like an arena-based sport, you know, and, you know, like take the actual Roman Colosseum where they would have like, you could have just flat sand and that could work. But then you have like obstacles and you have little structures that people can work around. And then you get to watch these people get the ball. And you don't need to make it you can make it violent in the way that football is violent, or you can make it violent in like, I think that's kind of what you need to do. You don't want to make it bloody and like people are cutting, you know, like
then you're just gladiators.
Yeah. So I was like, but this is, you know, this is rugby in a way.
Yeah.
But it's, you want to hold on to the ball and like play keep away. And you get points. And from that, I don't know, like, that's where I wanted to like present it. And let's talk about how you can make it more. What are your initial thoughts?
You're going to laugh.
I doubt
probably.
It.
I think, I know that like firearms are sort of part of this, were saying?
In Halo, but in not, Halo, not but in not my in idea. This. I'm removing them because I'm trying to make it not deadly.
So I think this actually, I think would be really fun to have this be a game for monks to play in D&D, where they're just stunning striking.
Interesting, yeah.
Each other.
Like you, yeah, okay.
And so it's hot because you have to,
yeah.
You have to get the skull. You've got to get the skull from the, like there's a physical component.
Yeah.
But they're allowed to stun you. So how do you get the skull from them, which requires physical contact.
Yeah.
While minimizing the risk of you getting stunned and locked out.
I love where your head's at. I think this works in many ideas. I think you remove the monk thing and you just say it's like, say everybody has swords where if you make like a solid like blow on the torso or wherever, it does stun.
Yeah, it so locks you.
It locks you. So then, like, that's how you, you know, because in these games, it works based off of respawns. It's like you kill the guy and then he respawns somewhere else in the map. And so you have a moment where you have an advantage. In this case, yeah, you hit them, you stun them for 3 seconds.
Yeah, you just get a stun stick. You get, like, or like if they touch you, do you have to, as the player, the one holding the skull, do you have to touch them or do they get stunned by touching you instead of the skull? Like, what if they're only allowed to touch the skull? If they make contact with you, your body, you're wearing a suit that shocks them, locks them down.
Because I think it should be, like, the point is for you to be fragile.
Got it.
So I think it works well as, like, and we just, like, I'm like, make it a sword because then you get to have, you have, like, the bit of a gladiatorial element of, like, people are actually fighting. And there's a skill, like, you have to be good at fending off the other guys. So if it's just, like, a stun stick that you just go, meh, and you just kind of, like, I win.
Fair.
Like, okay. So I'm like, okay, well, so then it becomes, like, a fencing situation, you know, and it has, like, a unique fencing element or unique dueling element, like you get in Dune.
Yeah,
where
that's what I was just imagining the shield.
There's like a special skill to, like, you're not trying to grievously wound, you just need to make that contact. So it's like, okay, I hit you, you parry, and I just need to like quickly spin to just make contact with your chest. And if I can, so then like there's a lot more flourishes and stuff.
Yeah,
because you're just trying to get a little bit of space to make contact to get that stun, and maybe the hardness of the hit impacts the length of the stun. I don't know. So if you like hit someone's leg, it'll just stun their leg. If you hit them in the chest, that will stun their whole body.
Right.
If you hit them in the arm, it'll stun.
If you hit
arm.
Them in their head, they immediately respawn.
Or they they're like in like max stun
or something like. Yeah, or like, I was thinking like ultimate punch. Like they start back farther away from you.
Because then you're fully in sci-fi realm, I think, at that point.
Oh yeah.
Because then you're doing a video game.
Yeah.
Like I want to make it where it's, you know, there's like a magic enchantment to these weapons of some kind. You know, you have it in a small enough arena where everyone can see and they have a good vantage point.
Yeah.
And it's like pretty, and it's like 4-on-4. It's like pretty compact and you can really see what's happening and you get to watch multiple of these duels going on and watching the guy with the skull try to get away and try to move around and, you know, and then what shenanigans they can get up to. And maybe they do throw it up into the crowd every once in a while. Just crowd can hold on to it for a maximum of 5 seconds. And then they have fun. Like everyone's like, aah! And they do like a little wave as they throw it around and then they throw it back in the arena.
Yeah.
You know, like you could have some fun with the atmosphere of it all and make like a good arena-based game.
Yeah, I think that's fun. I like it a lot.
And it's a good backstory for a character. It's like, I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter because, you know, I'm a duelist because I play oddball and I know how to, like, you know, win these little duels.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah. Good anyway, talks. So let's move
microwave
on.
Microwave some for me, man.
Frozen lasagna. Telekinetic-based sport, where it could be a race, it could be something else, but all the participants have to telekinetically propel themselves and get them to do things, and or they telekinetically have to move a ball around a field to get it into a net. And so it's all based on, like, the strength of people's ability to use telekinesis. But this is a world where telekinesis is really difficult, and it's not like a super simple magic, and it's pretty niche. So then it's like they're not insanely capable at it. You know, there's like a pretty hard limitation. And they just kind of move it around and move themselves in a race form, move a ball, whatever.
I like it.
Yeah.
No, I think that's great.
All right, move on to yours. Ding.
Super fucked up setting is a super fucked up superhero world where the game is how many people can you save? And someone is out there causing natural disasters or crimes or something. And you have two, you know, Superman or Spider-Man style superheroes. And they're thinking like, oh, look how many people I'm saving, when not realizing it's actually super fucked up that you're putting people in danger like this. But the game is, how many people can you save?
Yeah, I like it.
And but it you could almost say that would be fun because it could almost be like a Hunger Games planet-wide thing where you put all these superheroes down on a new planet with all of these natural disasters, and it's how many people, and then they start fighting each other to be able to save someone. Could be fun.
Yeah, could be fun. Cool. All right. Well, let's move on to what stuck for us. What stuck for you?
I mean, number one, I still have the Hercules song stuck in my head because great song. Secondarily, I like all of the alts that we came up with for mine about, you know, the warging and the familiars and the having the, you know, you have to, you're not jockeying, you're training the animals. I like that. But I think what stuck for me is the two things stuck for me. One is that. Two, on yours, I almost replaced my own microwave lasagna idea with it, but I liked it, so I didn't. But I had the idea because you kept talking about using a skull as the ball in Oddball. I want there to be, now I have this idea of, I want there to be it's a world where necromancy is really common, and the game is basically high stakes keep away, where you've got one skull and then a bunch of headless skeleton bodies that are trying to get it so that they can become a whole person, and you've got two necromancers that are basically playing monkey in the middle with this horde of headless skeletons.
All right, interesting. Well,
yeah, what stuck for you?
That wasn't what stuck for you. That was just an idea. That was
nothing. No, but now that, because that idea came, that is now what I'm thinking about. So okay, that might be what stuck for me.
Got it.
Obi-Wan's little lizard bird feather mount thing.
Yeah,
with the whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop. Whoop whoop. I think two things that stuck in me are like details in the alts of, I really liked the airships idea because I feel like it adds like a fun visual spectacle, and it adds like a reason for a story to be watching one of these things because the story is on the airship. I really like that. And I like the stun mechanic that like was like that unlocked, that was like, here's my idea, and I needed the little unlock, and then you found it. I was like, great, that unlocks the idea, that now the idea works.
Yeah.
And I really like that. So, and it's, you know, the simplicity of something like that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Sometimes the thing that you want is actually just right next to the thing that you can't have.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, perfect. It's
right there.
Yeah. And you just need a little bit.
So. I remember once in college, I was trying to think up, I had to come up with a thesis statement for a final paper I was writing, and there was a word, and I could not think of this word, and I had, like, not slept for, like, 2 days, like, you know, a standard college thing, and I finally asked a friend, I'm like, what is that? There's a word, it starts with an R, and I can't think of it, and my friend just looks at me and goes, reconcile, and I actually like got misty-eyed because that was the word I was looking for like and I couldn't and it's like sometimes it's right there and it's all you need.
Yeah,
it's just that one word, and that was, and the rest just, it was like, thank you, you saved the whole thing. Now
Oh, beautiful. All right. Well, that's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you. Email's in the show notes.
Thanks for listening, folks. Goodbye.